He was a fine, tall, slim young fellow of 18 or 20, with black eyes and hair as dark as a raven's wing, and his whole appearance bespoke that calmness and resolution peculiar to men accustomed from their cradle to contend with danger.
"Ah, is it you, Dantès?" cried the man in the skiff. "What's the matter? And why have you such an air of sadness aboard?"
"A great misfortune, Monsieur Morrel," replied the young man. "A great misfortune. For me especially. Off Civita Vecchia we lost our brave Captain Leclerc."
"And the cargo?" inquired the owner eagerly.
"Is all safe, Monsieur Morrel, and I think you will be satisfied on that head. But poor Captain Leclerc."
"What happened to him?"
asked the owner with an air of considerable resignation. "What happened to the worthy captain?"
"He died."
"Fell into the sea?"
"No, sir. He died of brain fever in dreadful agony." Then, turning to the crew, he said, "Bear a hand there to take in sail." All hands obeyed, and at once the 8 or 10 seamen who composed the crew sprang to their respective stations at the spanker brails and outhaul, topsail sheets and halyards, the jib downhaul and the topsail clew lines and bunt lines. The young sailor gave a look to see that his orders were promptly and accurately obeyed, and then turned again to the owner.
"And how did this misfortune occur?" inquired the latter,
resuming the interrupted conversation.
"Alas, sir, in the most unexpected manner. After a long talk with the harbour master, Captain Leclerc left Naples greatly disturbed in mind. In 24 hours he was attacked by a fever, and died 3 days afterwards. We performed the usual burial service, and he is at his rest, sewn up in his hammock, with a 36-pound shot at his head and his heels, off Algilio Island. We bring to his widow his sword and cross of honour." "It was worthwhile, truly," added the young man with a melancholy smile, "to make war against the English for 10 years, and to die in his bed at last, like everybody else."
"Why, you see, Edmond," replied the owner, who appeared more comforted at every moment, "we're all mortal, and the old must make way for the young. If not, why, there would be no promotion, and since you assured me that the cargo—"
"Is all safe and sound, Monsieur Morrel. Take my word for it. And I advise you not to take 25,000 francs for the profits of the voyage." Then, as they were just passing the round tower, the young man shouted,
"Stand by there to lower the topsails and jib. Brail up the spanker."
The order was executed as promptly as it would have been on board a man of war.
"Let go and clew up."
At this last command, all the sails were lowered and the vessel moved almost imperceptibly onwards. "Now, if you'll come on board, Monsieur Morrel," said Dantès, observing the owner's impatience, "here is your supercargo, Monsieur Danglars, coming out of his cabin, who will furnish you with every particular. As for me, I must look after the anchoring and dress the ship in mourning."